me help you find it, to show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes and Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it, to show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Look, I bear a cross, bear fruit, wear cloth with the logo. Show it off, it's so cold, but most don't know. Fruits are the things that show forth the evidence of the spirit inside. You can see them like a photo. Click. So when I don't flow, you should see kindness. It shouldn't have to look hard to find this. Everybody knows what it is. Let me define this and take a look at the motives behind it. This is another attribute of God's divineness. We share in it cause in His image He designed us. But we don't reflect that in the proper light cause we're broken. We put our votes in, humanity is pro-sin. So then God decides to show men kindness despite the fact we never chose Him. Or should I say choose Him? We chunking them deuces. Silly come pursues us with irresistible love, He woos us. The truth is, fruits are the proof that He moved in. If they not growing, then we living in illusion. For our iniquity, they bruised Him, boosted Him up on that tree. For you and me, the good news is His kindness leads us to repentance. God and man can be friends since Christ took the bid for our death.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it, to show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it, show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Dry branches, brittle, easily broke. They only good as firewood, throw them in the smoke. Once they detach from the vine, then they quit growing. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not getting soaked in the riches of His word. No time in His presence, I'm gonna give Him my best. And not just a couple of seconds, so check it. You ever spent so much time with a person? You started talking like them, man, watch and learn. See the company that you keep is certainly gonna determine how you walk, how you talk. That's why I be hurting when we don't spend time in that book. And our prayers are lifeless, then wonder why we as His children don't look like Him. So tell me, what good is fruit if others don't take a bite in? When they get a taste, do they see Christ in? If not, then don't go fake it till they do. Go back to the root, see Christ abide in the mirror.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it, to show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change. Let me help you find it, show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In Him will your body change.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another blessed and exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made. He intends for us to be blessed with it, and we shall be glad of it. Amen, and rejoice. You know, I tell you, it's something. I'm really surprised that we're still here. I mean, when you understand the where we are in time and what's going on, you know, it's the fact that the rapture is not tied to the next major calamity that's coming. You know, it's an escape, really. You know, there are some believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. Listen, folk over in India and China are already going through tribulation. We in America got it made, especially up here in Michigan, amen, on this February 6th day, we got bright sunshine and 40-degree weather. Somebody praying. Amen. Hallelujah. But giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. To the Lord God Jehovah. Amen. The Father and Creator of all. Amen. And the blessed Holy Ghost. Our subject topic today. Amen. And Pastor Joel Overall, running for Christ Christian Center. Amen. Located in E-Course. If you're in the E-Course area, drop by, visit him one day. Amen. Once you do, you'll probably go back. Amen. You know, I just thank God for this opportunity. You know, we're still talking on the subject of the Holy Spirit in man. And I it took a lot of us, and myself included, a lot of time to get the revelation of just who we're dealing with. You know, it takes something. Once you break away from religion and start becoming enter into a relationship with God, and you spend time in His Word, you begin to see a different aspect of this life. Amen. But amen. Let's go and go before the throne of God and include Him in here, because this is about Him. It ain't about us. It's about us to learn from Him, His will and His way. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you because we realize it is a great privilege. Even though you extend it to all did not receive it. And we thank you that we were your chosen. And Father God, right now we ask you that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Father God, right now we ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to start right off. Amen. Well, actually, you know, due to the fact that I have some new listeners, amen, and some new friends, you would say, I want you to understand the format that God gave me for this ministry and how it came about and what it is about, because you know, the Lord told me it's called the period. You know, you take a ministry and a pastor teaching the word of God, you know, not politics, and think of this as a period. But actually what happened, we are approaching the last days, and this God has gave me this assignment to put a period on it, on all the messages. In other words, what you heard, everything that lined up with the word is the word of God. You know, I'm not trying to change anything. I haven't learned anything. I'm only telling you what's already been written, a little bit different. And just the little bit addition that I include is where we going. And, you know, through my life for 46 years, I heard about heaven, but not in between. And in between is the people that have died and gone on. When the rapture come in the 1,000 years, I've heard the 1,000 years mentioned, but not a lot about what's going on. The transition that we make, even though we see it in the scripture. Now, I've heard my pastor talk about it, you know, and I'm sure Pastor O have talked about it, because it's critical, because that's the key factor into the why, you know. That way you don't get into, I know Jesus didn't get into a lot of what I call enticements and encouragements of what they call the prosperity gospel. You know, and it's sad, I've never talked to a person. I ran into a critic of the prosperity gospel, and I haven't ever heard of an entire set of the CDs of that particular message. And it's sad, like a lot of questions I ask, they say no. Because what I found once I listened to an entire set, it wasn't just you're just going to get some stuff. You're going to have to live right. You're going to have to talk right. You're going to have to be doing what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. See, and that's the part of the message. People have never heard. Most critics have never even heard a six-hour segment. That's how long it is. And every one of them add that part. See, and most people, they get that little clip. Now, I get it. The premise behind it, playing the little clip, is because they know people want stuff. But I think they should put the clip of how you going to have to walk and talk to get the stuff. And you have to have a covenant with God. That's a major. I mean, God has the right and has done it many times in order to reach people, overrode it. I mean, you know, he blessed people regardless. But that's because he wants them to understand that he loved them. Amen. And really, again, I think what, like I said, the mission I was given, clear where we going, because this life, as we know it, is about to come to an end and go to a totally new beginning. Okay, but anyway, I'm gonna read to you 1 John 3:2, and it says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He," talking about Jesus, "shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And generally, I talk about the fact that the things that Jesus was able to do, and even some of the things he did before his resurrection, we will be able to do. And that's a tremendous amount of power. People look at the outcome, but they don't think about what caused it to happen. What level of authority and power that is in the hands of an individual, and the discipline that's required to give that type of power to a person. And we've seen throughout history and even recent history how that can cause some people to lose control of themselves. And that's why whenever you're dealing with in this life, you have to stop and time and thank God and remind him that you realize that you have what you have because of him, you are what you are because of him. And as it says in Psalm 100:3, it is the Lord that has made us and not we ourselves. You know, I recently had an encounter with an individual that was actually jealous of the fact that I talked to God. You know, he didn't even give me a chance to tell me that that's a common event. I mean, that should happen with every Christian. I mean, you're not required to just take my word for it, even if I read it to you out of the Bible. Satan read the Bible to Jesus. He quoted scripture to Jesus. He just perverted it. So you really have to have a relationship with God. And the other scripture is Philippians 3:20-21. It says, "For our conversation or lifestyle is in heaven, for from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vital bodies, that it may be fashioned in like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." Now think about this. You know, there's a video by the late Chuck Missler, and it's called Beyond Time and Space. But you have to think about this. You know, when meteors come into our atmosphere, they're traveling at such a high rate of speed that most of them never hit the ground. They basically, I guess, dissipate or evaporate because of the amount of heat that they experience just on the friction of our atmosphere. Mind you, they're not sliding down a board or a piece of metal. They're just hitting our atmosphere, which we barely can see, or we really can't see unless we look under a microscope. Now, when you look at this scripture, it's telling you, think about this. Recently, a friend of mine transitioned. And when he left his body, his angel said, "Okay, this is where we're going. We're going to report in, and we're going to the throne." And they jetted across the universe faster than the speed of thought. Now, your spirit can handle that, because at that speed, let's just give it a speed. We know that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. All right? Now, that right there is enough to completely destroy anything that we have constructed here on earth. Nothing of material substance could withstand that speed. Okay? Now, think about this. When the rapture occurred, the first thing that occurred, that individual, my parents, and many other individuals are going to come back, visit their grave in a millisecond, just call their body particles, dust particles, people that's been dead thousands of years, and dress it, and then shoot out back across the universe, and we go to a seven-year party. But think about that. We will leave here. I will leave here and jet up right behind them at that same speed, and yet my body will have been what it says right here, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working there whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. See, this is the objective of God. Okay, let's go to Revelations chapter 1 and verse 6. Wait a minute. Revelation chapter 1, not Revelation chapter 6. Let me get this. Okay, verse 6. And, when you read, again, as I prayed at the beginning, do that when you read your Bible, you know. Just thank God, praise him for a little bit, and then tell him to give you the revelation. So that you, a lot of times you'll be reading and you'll see stuff. And oftentimes what I find with a lot of Christians, they think it only apply to Jesus, even though it doesn't say that. It'll apply to you, see. And I get it, because what I hear people saying is that almost as though they don't want to be all that. They don't want to, you know, thank God. They don't want God to think their head big. Listen, God will shrink it for you, trust me. I wear a hat band all the time. I ain't letting my head get big, because I've seen what God do to people, let their head get big. All right. I'm going to start with verse 5, because, amen, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. This is John talking. John wrote the book of John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Amen. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, meaning that there were some seconds and thirds, and I'm probably another billion, number 1 billion. But anyway, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, and this is something, I want to read verse 7 because some people miss this. It says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. That's actually at the end. That's at the end of the 7 year tribulation. But it says, every eye shall see him. You know, now some say that's going to happen but if you read it in this context right here, you know, I'm not trying to focus on that right now, but I do want you to know that every eye going to see him, because some folk been taught he been here already, but every eye didn't see him, so, I mean, this is the word. I'll take the word over any man. All right. But in verse 6, it says, he has made us kings and priests. That's the position that we hold. We are God's royal priesthood. We are the only ones that can go to God and ask him to save people, which is a responsibility for every Christian, which should be carried out every day. And the thing that you have to understand about a person, because they can make decisions whether to accept or reject, you can't, unlike believing God for $1 million, that's, you know, no longer, you just have to praise God and thank him every day. You believe it, say it, I believe I receive it, because you're a good God and you keep your word. Amen. And then listen out for how he going to get it to you. But anyway, but when it comes to a human, they have the right to decide whether to receive or reject. And so you have to repeat the prayer for them. Not many times in the day, but every day, until they acknowledge, or as many times as you can receive it, because it's kind of hard to pray for somebody every day when there's so many people to pray for. I pray for people just about every day, and it's a simple prayer, but mostly what I just pray when I open up the service. That's what I pray for people, because that prayer is asking God to introduce himself to them. See, God cannot, because of the way he structured this. Understand, it links to the commandments of what Jesus said. Love God, and if you love God, you're going to love humanity, regardless of their attitudes and issues. And then you love your neighbor. Those are people that you are aware of and close to. Okay, that God brings to your mindset. It may be in China, but either way it goes, definitely the people that you nearest, okay, and people that you come in contact with. I mean, you don't even have to. You don't have to pray with them. You don't have to hold their hands and pray with them. It's good if you can. Okay, our church, when they do outreach, that's the first thing they ask people instead of saying, have you been saved? We ask them, can we pray for you? And for anything. See, God, that's when God uses the override. You know, they may need a job, and then you pray for them that God will bless them with a job, and God bless them with a job, amen, and then he can bug them, bug them about coming to him so he can do more for them, because that's what he want to do, bless them. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, amen, amen, so he can bless them. It's amazing God has to chase us down to bless them. All right, but being a king, that's a person of authority, okay? Understand that God gave man dominion over the earth. That's in Genesis 1:26. But the atmosphere above us, Satan has control over that and over anyone that has not received Christ as Savior. According to 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is their God because he is the God of this age, okay? That, I mean, understand the purpose behind all this is because we need to understand our true nature, our spiritual being, our spiritual level, as it says in, 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, where Paul talks about your whole spirit, your whole mind, will, and emotion, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your body. We are spirit with a mind, will, and emotion. That's your soul composite. That's the soulless realm. And we are stuffed inside of a body, okay? Science has now established that, at least at the University of Pennsylvania, have proven that the spirit, not only that the spirit of man is an entity inside the body, but the Holy Spirit is yet another entity inside the body, and that they have documented, and you can look it up on the internet, University of Pennsylvania, research on speaking in tongues, and it indicates that when the frontal lobe of the mind, of the brain is silent when a person is speaking in tongues, and that's the part of the brain that controls speech. You know, most of us that speak in tongues know that that's one of the few times that you can actually think something different other than what's coming out of your mouth, and that's really not normal with a human being. Okay, because they generally formulate together. But I can say hallelujah while I'm speaking the language that depending on the situation, okay, one of the biggest functions of the Holy Spirit. He is God. We talked about the fact that he could be grieved. That's in Ephesians 4:30. It says, grieve. Now, you can't hurt the feelings, and I hurt the feelings of a non-human entity, so to speak, as some of our family teach. And the thing about that is if you ever run across somebody that tells you that, you want to shake their world, just ask them, did you, as an individual, ask God about it? And 99, 100%, if they tell them the truth, they're going to say no. most time they won't even answer, which means no. Because if it was yes, they would answer. You know, I do that all the time, and I know they're like, they want to be mad, but the reality is the last person, he went silent because that really, he never thought about that. And see, a lot of times your parents, I love my parents, but you know what? They're not God. It was the means for me to get here. Okay, they are not God. You know, a lot of Muslims, you ask the Muslims, did he ask them? I'm talking about particularly the Middle Eastern ones. They dead set on what they believe. I'm like, but did you ask? I don't even go through the names. I ask this, did you ask Allah who Jesus is? Okay? And it shuts them down. if you're shutting them down 100% of the time, what is that telling you? See, you got to be conscious of what we are dealing with. And this is the thing, key thing about the Holy Spirit being a person. We know that in Acts 13:2, he gave instructions, okay? He is, and you have to learn to submit to him. He's not going to submit to you. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people. They want God to do their will rather than see his. And I get it. A lot of us, we're not really taught that that is the proper way to live life. You know, I probably should have been an engineer. I don't know. Because at that time, I don't remember asking God. I just know that when I got ready to leave Wayne County, he asked me would I stay, you know, because it was something. I mean, it was just strange, and I was trying to make reasons not to stay. That's another thing. You'll be thinking one thing, he'd be saying another, and then he started quoting scripture. But his thing was souls were more important. And it didn't work out that way. We saw a lot of major, and I wasn't the only one. When I noticed that everyone that stayed was spirit-filled or sought, they lived in the spirit realm. Amen. Balanced people, you know, not weird people. But we had the same agenda, and that's God. That's God. And we saw a tremendous change over the years. And that really helped my faith because I got to see God work in the workplace, which is why I tell people, if your workplace ain't what you want it to be, get you at least one or two other partners that's walking upright with God. And if they not, help them get there. Amen. Criticism ain't going to help them get there. Jesus told them, drop your rocks unless you ain't got no sin in your life. Anyway, and work on that because you will get to see your authority in action. And it will encourage you, but it also makes you aware of who and what you are. See, without these events and experiences in our lives, we really don't know. And a lot of people don't know who they are because they don't step out in faith. They don't even believe God at their level. Praying. I mean, I take on challenges. I know some people take a lot of prayer. When you're praying for the president, it take a lot of us to pray for a president because Satan addresses leaders. This is why I don't, you know, it doesn't, I don't know, because I guess when I knew the word, when I saw back in this was in the 70s, 80s, I could call the pastor, the man of God's name, people would know it, but, you know, my point is I watched what happened. By that time, I had read Galatians 6:1. And it says, if a brother is taken in a fog, you which are spiritual, restore such one. And I couldn't do nothing but pray for him. I didn't know him personally. But I watched these two big name pastors go after him, trying to tear him down. And I'm like, man, Jesus outlawed that in Matthew 7:1. And what you use against them, that's what you're going to set yourself up to be used with. And the same thing that happened to him, they sin got called out. Everybody, now come on. Now, ain't none of us can go say we sinless. I mean, it might not be big to the public, but it is. And one of them was big. One of the very things he preached against, he got caught up in. See, why? Because, see, love covers a multitude of sin, a multitude of faults. It covers it, all right? If you're trying to walk upright, see, and Satan right now is working overtime. I'm seeing these self-appointed, calling past them. In the Bible, God said he hates those that cause discord. Hate. If God hates something, that's something you definitely want to stay away from. Listen, I mean, again, even those, the one that's the self-appointed, I pray for them because I know they're delusional. They don't have no clue, and they're going to get left behind. They don't really be tripping when they get left behind. You know, because they what you going to do? Point at the ones, and the very ones they point at might get taken. I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't have concrete evidence. The Bible said receive not an accusation against an elder, and that ain't what I want to be talking about. But I guess God did. All right. Let's get back on track here. Now, what is the Holy Spirit's job? For you to be a king, effective king and priest, you got to live a holy life. Now, and God gave me an acronym for holy, and that is humble, obedient, loving, and yielding. And you see that in the characterization of men of God through in the Bible, men of God in life that are successful. The success is there with God in the kingdom of God. Success, though, is also when you see a church produce a lot of praying people over above 50%, see, that's a successful church. See, just having a whole bunch of people paying money, getting entertained every week, that's not a success. That's just a hangout. That's a big club. See, the effectiveness of what needs to be done. It has to, Jesus said, judge a true tree by its fruit. But again, that right there is the job of the Holy Spirit if you allow him. You know, here it is. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, quench not the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, matter of fact, let's just go read that because I want to read what's around that so you get why he said that. It says in this label, Paul's giving out diverse reasons. Understand that the Thessalonians were not Jewish, okay? So they weren't raised up by the commandments of God. So for them, it was a cultural change. They basically was called in that era Gentiles, if not pagans. But Paul is laying out the cultural changes that they like. Have to go through. It's quite a few. You had to go back and read this whole chapter really slowly and prayerfully. It says, but rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now think about that. And that's what I've been talking about. See, if you're not doing that, I mean, if you're going every day without praying, then you just cease to pray. Every day without praying, come on now. Who's your God? You are. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not or extinguish not the spirit. Despise not prophesying or preaching the word, even when you don't like it. So prove all things, though, and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And those things, like that particular will, appearance of evil. I mean, that's the action. This place is out of, my life is limited. You know, when I had children, when my children were children, I limited my life to what children can do. You know, I can do, Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient or beneficial or, you know, necessary. You know, people had a vision. It's not a sin to go to the nightclub. No, it's not. But you're going to be in there with more demons than angels. I guarantee you that. So the risk factor is how you gonna come up out of there, and it, you know, there's a reason they don't have light on in there. Jesus said, "Men dwell in darkness because their deeds are evil." Okay, you're not gonna come out of there. Women going to look for a husband in a nightclub end up with what they get. Okay, same thing with men, end up with what they get. The question is, why are they there? I get it. People like to do things for relief, and you can. You know, I ain't gonna knock it, particularly for married people. I don't know. Single people, it might be kind of dangerous. But you have to talk to your pastor about that because churches have their own culture, and you need to adhere to that. But anyway, but you can do things to quench the spirit. One is when you get outside, anything outside the word, don't do that, particularly when you have knowledge of the word. And don't try to ignore the word thinking that you're going to get away with it, because what is happening now is God is moving faster. And as he is moving faster, if you're watching TV, you're seeing more disasters. And that's going to increase. As we get closer to the rapture or closer to the final 7 years, you're going to see more tumult than ever and in places that it normally doesn't happen. You know, he said earthquakes in diverse places. Now, in order to avoid all that, in order to be protected from that, because you can be a victim of circumstances, you need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, okay? And then the one thing about him, he knows how you are. He knows if you're holy or not. And your holy and his holy ain't going to be the same a lot of times until you line up with the word, which is why it's critical. Because, again, you're talking about God relinquishing or have already given us. He gave his power to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to us. But it has to, it comes with any point, any, like I said before, anytime there's authority involved, there's discipline involved, and it always, it's not always based on experience or time of experience. Sometimes, because some people mature faster than others. All right? So now, and the thing about being humble, let's read some of these humbling scriptures. We're going to do one Old Testament. That's in the book of Jeremiah, because that's essential. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 18. He says, say, this is the Lord talking, the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, speaking through Jeremiah. He says, say to the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Now, this is the thing that disturbed me about, even though the United States is a democracy, let me tell you something. One of the saddest moments I had was I asked God, was this a Christian country? I almost kind of wish I hadn't asked. You know, and when he told me yes, I knew judgment was going to come. Because what God declared, what man thinks, ain't the same thing. And as you know, see, ain't no democracy in the kingdom of God. And one of the challenges, like right now, this country's problems are the result of rejection toward God. Psalm 9:17. It said, the wicked and all those that turn against God shall be turned into hell. I mean, it is. Any nation that turns against God. Because you're withdrawing from your protection. And again, the Holy Spirit will convict you of that. He will convict you. Now, here he's talking about the highest level of government at that time. But if they do what God said to Solomon before he lost his mind, forgive me if I'm wrong about that, Lord, but he did lose his mind. Man, that's 700 wives. If that won't drive you crazy, I don't know what will. But there was he in order for him, I forgot where I read it. It might have been one of my many teachers that I had that said it. But Solomon had the only documented, and based on the level of, I believe it was Flavius Josephus, that you see that, in that he had a kingdom, had a nation, where there was no poverty, and there was rich people. See, it's possible to have it all. See, if the government and those in authority, the leaderships, those with the possessions of God, do what God say do, how he say do. But that, and they didn't even have the level of authority that we have. You know, the nation of Israel could pray to God, particularly for protection, but I don't recall them having authority to make intercession. The priest could make intercession. That's where the priest, that's where, if you want to understand the priesthood, you have to study the Old Testament priesthood. They could stand between God and man to prevent judgment or to bring prosperity or what was necessary, but not every body that was in the nation of Israel. Whereas with now, everybody that received Christ is, it not only can, but should be praying for people that are saved to get saved. See, that's what our purpose is. And that called one, because prayer takes energy and effort. You know, you got, that's a sacrifice. The Bible calls it a spiritual sacrifice. I think we need to read that. But let's read this here in James chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, humble, lower yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, you know, I have in my notes, that's self-motivated. God ain't going to do that. I'm going to tell you, don't ask, before you ask God to do something, I know new people do that. I've seen some older saints ask God to do something. Don't ask, let me tell you something. I asked God for something once, and it didn't work out well. And ever since then, it was he like smacked me, and I'm like, okay. So the boy getting smacked, I need to deal with this myself. Now, there may be some things you can't deal with on your own, but that depends on what effort you have been making toward it. Particularly, people that don't be silent in church, don't be silent at home. You need to, particularly if you have a drug problem, you have any problems, physical problems, because they're natural. They're part of your, in your flesh. And there's, you really need to understand how Satan can antagonize your flesh. He can't possess your spirit, but they can antagonize your flesh. That's why you see all these 400-pound people. Their flesh is being antagonized. Now, that is the same as a drug addiction. Okay, anything that's out of control, anything that, that's an area of called gluttony. Anytime, so that right there requires spending more time with God. And he has to be seen as the reigning authority for you to handle that. That's with everything. That's with everything. Once I became dominated with the spirit, a lot of things just didn't have a hold, stronghold no more. That's what it does. He educates you about you so that you can deal with you. And it's a lot of things, a lot of reasons behind all those things. But you have to approach God as an individual, and he'll give you the trigger mechanisms and give you a recipe for success. Again, that's that interaction. That does not happen, can't legally happen, mind you that, legally happen with everybody, only those in Christ. See, understand that demons and angels see what's going on in the unseen world, okay? A lot of times, there are times when God, when a person not in Christ will request a blessing, God will try to set it up and get it done. He'll go find one of his people to pray for it to get done, and then the angel will bring it, and then the demon will, if he catch wind, he'll stop it because he has the authority to do that because they are not submitted to Christ, and they're still under the kingdom of Satan, and he will legally block that. That's what happened a lot of times. That's when you'll find out. See, when I get a person tell me they prayed and it didn't work, my first question is, when did you receive Christ? If you can't tell me that, then you don't have a covenant. Now, you might not, then they don't like the fact that I bring that issue up. The issue is, it's not whether or not you're good. I'm talking about doing this. More good people are in hell than bad. Society on this number level, on the statistically, only 3% of people are bad. Almost in every society, only that 3% are really bad. You know, just morally degenerate. The rest of the 97% are pretty good people. But it ain't about that. You must be born again. Period. Takes like 30 seconds. That's the dumb part. People don't even, I ain't say you must go to church, you must read the Bible. Demons can do that. You must be born again. Matthew 3:11 lets you know that Jesus administers the Holy Spirit. John said he that cometh shall baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. That's when Jesus controls. See, if you go back and listen to the other segments, you get all that. Because it's critical, because as we're moving forward, you're going to need it. I constantly hear about the need for are they coming up with another, what they call it, plandemic. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, the plandemic, God got a treatment plan for it. You can raise your level of anointing. Anointing is increase authority. And you can't increase if you don't have the basic. You must have Christ. Christ means anointing. It means anointed one and his anointing. See, I get it. This is what I'm trying to do, help you get a revelation on what we are dealing with on the spiritual level, because it's going to be critical, because I've heard several men and women of God talk about the fact that the halfway saint being in the middle, taking advantage of other people's faith, that day is gone. And it's when I first heard it from God, what I heard from God was the training wheels are off. That was right in the middle of a prophetic word. And the man of God that was speaking, it was just speaking. But again, I heard, this one of my calling epiphany moments, when the Holy Spirit just talks like I'm talking now. You have no question about who's talking. And I understood what he was saying, because we have more access to God's word than any other generation, and we need to be putting this stuff to work. I'm convinced. Look, I know California taking a beat, but it's enough saints out there that they shouldn't have to be getting 4 days of river rain. That's abnormal. And I'm convinced that any abnormal weather pattern can be altered by the body of Christ if they meet God's standard. Now, there's a standard. There's a criteria. You can't just act any old kind of way. And with God, you can't just be right today and with a plan to be wrong tomorrow. See, understand, God is omnipresent in time. So if you think you're going to pretend like you're going to act right today and then go back to being stupid the next day. Anyway, so I hope you, let me get this. It says, humble yourself. That was James 4:10. And I want to read one more, humble yourself, before we go to obedience, if we get there. I want to go to 1 Peter. Now, again, this is Peter, the Peter. This is Jesus Peter, the Peter that hung out with Jesus all along. Amen. He was one of the original apostles. Chapter 5, verse 6. Hallelujah. But it says, again, it speaks clearly. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, as Paul said to the Philippians, don't be anxious for nothing. So you really don't have to worry about all this if you humble yourself, because when you do decide to step back and let God be God, then he'll, and listen, then he'll begin to talk to you. Think of it like this. The Holy Spirit is like a chip that God installs in us that allows us to receive transmissions. In the olden days with radios, they called them crystals. Certain crystals allow you to pick up certain signals at certain speed, because each crystal is designed for a specific speed and pattern, okay? And that's what God, the Holy Spirit, picks up what comes from heaven. Jesus said he only say what comes from heaven. He don't get into nothing else, okay? Now, you can, he can help you with some other stuff, because I've had him help me with a whole lot of stuff. Amen. But it said humble yourself. So, if you, again, you don't want the old God to humble you. Trust me. Take my word for it. You will humble yourself. Trust me on that one. You know. Just thank God that you believe you receive whatever delivered. People that struggle with cigarettes. Cigarettes are killers. Okay, you notice ain't no ingredients on the side of pack. You know, it ain't for your health at all. Matter of fact, I think a friend of mine brought a pack back from Switzerland that had a skull, bone, and cross on there. You know, they designed to kill you. So they want your life short. He wants your life miserable. That's what they designed to do. There's no nutrition label is on cigarettes. Think about that now, okay? But if you struggle with that, again, like I say, we talk about people smoking and drinking, but we don't talk about all these 500-pound people. You know, and some of them get there from stress. Some people stress too much. That's what he said, cast your cares. If you're stressing too much, you're not casting your cares on him. And that means you're ignoring the Holy Spirit. And again, what is your time like with God? How much of your time a day, every day, does God get? I mean, with just you and him and you for him. Again, God don't pray for people to get saved. Jesus don't pray for people to get saved. We pray for people to get saved. Jesus and God answer. Okay, they don't pray. That Jesus prayed for us. He made intercession for us. All right? But again, so that's something that should occur. And as we was reading in Ephesians, matter of fact, this is what the Lord gave me to go back to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Now, And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. That really speaks for itself. But now when you see Spirit, capital S, when you're reading through the KJV, King James Bible, most Bibles, that's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the product of that. Okay? You shouldn't have an anger management problem. You know, you need to deal with that. Okay? Matter of fact, let me go back up and see where that comes from. In verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you, told you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, which is why I found myself on Facebook today warning some people about following one of them self-appointed wannabe called-out preachers. That's right there where we just read. It said that's various. Seditions, that's where that comes from. Indians, okay? That's the spirit. That's of the flesh. So, that's why I can't even see it, because if anything, if I think a man of God is wrong, I'm going to pray for him. Because if I get wrong, I want somebody to pray for me. That's what Galatians 6:1 says. What you want, that's what Matthew 7:1 says. Galatians 6:1 and Matthew 7:1 say, what you want, that's what you give. Okay? That's what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So if all I can do is find fault with people, I don't want God finding fault with me. And he don't even need a microscope to find fault. You don't want him turning his head on you. You don't want him calling you down. You don't want him pointing out, ignoring you. Particularly at the last day. We at the end of days. We're in the seconds. This ain't no time to be stupid. Okay? The idolatry, that's big time. You see that. Witchcraft, that people want access to power without righteousness. Okay? This emulation, that's the same thing. That what you will find in those cases, notice who they attack. They attack big, what they consider big ministries with no record, no actual evidence of any wrongdoing. Let me tell you something. Any pastor tell you, IRS be all over their case. You're not going to have no millions of dollars flow through your ministry and them not using a spectrograph to go over your books, okay? They will be watching you. They will be investigating you because, now mind you, who they work for. They work for Satan. They will be all on you. See, people don't understand. When you're dealing with, I ain't going to say his name, but it's a billionaire. It's one of the few billionaires that I actually know that's saved, that actually reads the Bible. And actually lives the life. He ain't out hoe hunting and all that other old kind of stuff. Go to church regularly. Serves. You're a billionaire. You people too good to be an usher, and they ain't even, they broke. Anyway, so you can be that. Because why? Even he has to be in tune, because he might want to give to somebody and God don't want him to. I know that seemed crazy. Let me tell you something. I actually got in trouble once giving to a saint of God, and I could sense in my spirit, no, but I did it anyway. Well, I regret that. Okay, it was a lesson learned. See, so a lot of things, this is why you can't get behind people calling out what people think is of God. Listen, what God, they may want to do some things for some people, and God say no, because the person they want to do something, God wants them to do something that they're not doing. I hear too many pastors tell God what they're going to do, what they ain't going to do. And he's like, all right. And then they suffering, they're struggling. Man, you know, about 30,000 churches and closed up. How you tell your congregation God broke? And see, that's why they get mad at other pastors who are going all over the world, okay, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. That's why God's sending them. And they're not even, they're only allowed to use so much of that money. They're not allowed, they have a board that decides what their salary is going to be. So don't let Satan get you caught up in something you don't know. And even if you knew something, you still have an obligation to pray. Because if you don't, God coming after you. Satan's most sure. Listen, I'm telling y'all, Satan got an IQ of 35,000 minimum. Don't think, don't play with him. Listen, let's just say if they was. Do you know one of the signs of judgment coming, final judgment before the flood, was the first church got out of order and the leadership got corrupt? That happened repeatedly throughout Bible history. That's, Satan goes after the head. You don't want to get your head cut off. That's all, boy, getting your head cut off. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not caught up with that. There's a lot comes with that stuff. I'm telling you. There's a lot comes with that. Man, they got to have, even though Jesus had security, that's right, Peter was always armed. He didn't just go get a knife and cut Malchus' ear off. He had that knife all alone. And if it had been today, he would have had a 40 cal like I do. Okay? So people aren't listening. I'm telling you, I had a guy hate on me simply because I told him, he asked me, how did I know we in the last day? I told him I checked it out with God. He got upset. This guy was a doctor, a neuro, whatchamacallit. You know, I don't care what he don't believe. I didn't try to convince him of anything. I had prayed already for God to give him the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. That's the end of it right there. I'm not required to convince anybody of anything. Nobody. All right? Wait, man, we still on this issue until God say otherwise. But maybe this is your first time, and like I say, if it's your first time, if you hear it, you may have just come across this message. You may be before or after the rapture. I don't know. Amen. I'm doing what God say do. But it's a simple process to begin this process. That's the loving part about it. It's so simple. It's so simple. It's not deep. This is the part people miss. You know, you got people going to sit down and go to church and then serve in the church and never get saved. That's sad, you know. But anyway, that's why they do them, what I call them blanket prayers at the end. And I think it's a smart move. You know, you get everybody to pray salvation at the same time. All right? But just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word. And I'm going to trust you at your word. And in it, it says that all men were born in sin. And I acknowledge that I, too, was born in sin. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And you said that you sent your son to die for our sin. And I acknowledge that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again. You know, I don't understand why a person wouldn't take a deal like that. Because that's the best thing going in this world. I mean, really. I mean, we are at the end. But we also going to begin a new beginning. That's the beautiful part. You got to ask God about the new beginning. I mean, that's going to be a totally different life. We won't have to deal with all these crazy politicians and wars going on. And I mean, man, be able to eat food. I'll be able to eat all the grapes I want. Anyway, know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Amen.
Run, run, run. Last but not least of the fruits of the spirit is self-control, without which none of these other fruits on this tree ever grow. The law of harvest says that you reap what you sow. So fertilize the roots of the fruit is sweet when it shows. Yep. The last of the fruits of the spirit is self-control, which we have to produce for these other fruits to grow. The law of harvest says that you reap what you sow. So fertilize the roots of the fruit is sweet when it shows. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways. God, I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. All of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways. God, I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say. And yo, hope y'all ready to roll, cause we gon' dive into self-control. And so let me define it. If you peep the Greek, you'll see that it means strength. And otherwise defined as one holding themselves in. This is the virtue of one who masters all of his desires and all his passion. It's what's in effect when we deflect temptation that attracts us. It's God's giving grace to resist when Satan attacks us. It's the last of the list in the fifth chapter of the fruits that are given so we can live them in practice. But only God's spirit makes it active. It's a massive feat, like taking a whole city captive. It takes the mighty of man to control his actions and watch what comes from his mouth, cause he can't put his back in. It's what God is crafting and those that he's drafted. So let's let him shape and mold us until we behold our master. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say. Walk with me on the stroll to the throne of grace of the highness, and recognize I need for what only he can provide us. Let's take our care to the Father in Jesus' name. Lord, we acknowledge you're worthy to be praised, and we confess that we've sinned against you today. I know I lack self-control and I need grace. I pray the same for my brothers and sisters listening. Help us to obtain a good measure of self-discipline. Cause as for me, I know that I can be impulsive, and how I interact with folks can even be imposing. It's time to need you just for me to be quiet and tame this wild tongue, cause from it I breathe fires. Plus I got a war inside with lust and pride, and at times I need you to help me to just turn my eyes. So it's in the name of Christ we're taking our cares to you, and trust by the spirit of God will bear. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say.
Yo, so how do we grow in self-control? Well, let us ponder some thoughts that I get direct from the scroll. Now, though it soars as the spirit of God, we're still called to respond and contribute our part. Like when God delivered Israel out of the claws of Pharaoh and promised them a land they'd have to take by sword and arrow, to assure them that he'd give them strength for this, he caused a miracle, gave them a victory by marching around the walls of Jericho. This is an illustration of the collaboration between God and man and sanctification. He promised them a land to dwell in. He promises to dwell in us, so when we're in the land we can reveal him. He gave them strength for the victory, and he provides us with the grace to grow in self-control effectively. So first we pray for the grace of God, trust in him, then we put work in like a job. But self-control is more than just actions. It happens in the mind, so we take every thought captive. And if we aim to live lives that rep them well, we need self-control just to humble ourselves. It means forgiving, considering, and loving your brother. It's carried out in the heart that's given to none other than to God, who inspired his word and declared truth, so we can be living it out and bear fruit.
Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say. Day by day, minute to minute, teach me your ways, God. I pray by the spirit I will obey. Every day that you have given to me is grace, Lord. And all of my deeds and the words I say.